Hello and welcome to From Under a Rock. My name's Steven Zurita, and there's nobody else here. It's just Steven Zurita. All right, well, this week I'm talking to you about the Sailor Moon R movie. You might be saying, Steven Zurita, you're crazy going on this podcast alone. We've done the Sailor Moon R movie before. You reviewed Promise of the Rose back in episode 42.5. Well, you're right. This time around, though, I'm talking about the new Viz Media redub of that movie that is, at the time of this recording, is currently in theaters. But we'll get to all that in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, again, my name is Steven Zurita. I'm a big anime fan, and this podcast is called From Under a Rock. It's about taking each other out from under the proverbial rock on movies you should have seen by now. Being the anime fan I was, I thought Sailor Moon was a huge phenomenon in the 90s in America and all over the world, originating from Japan, so you probably should have seen some Sailor Moon at some point, so I brought some of my friends out from under the rock a couple years back when we reviewed Sailor Moon R, The Promise of the Rose. So when I saw this movie, I decided I wanted to revisit it, and I wanted to do something with several people to make a kind of discussion, because now that there's two dubs of this movie, it kind of reopens something we briefly touched on back in the original episode review, you know, dubs and subs and which is the correct way to consume or produce anime. And I was trying to get some of the cast members from that old episode back together for this, but everybody is busy. That's why we haven't been able to do episodes. You've probably noticed this is the first episode in probably over a year. So unfortunately, it's just me here today. But like I said, big fan. I've got a lot to talk about. But normally where this podcast is about reviewing movies and giving what we like to think is a definitive rating average between the opinions of at least four people watching the movie, this is going to be more of a discussion and a one-sided discussion because it's just me, one person. So hopefully this can offer you the kind of mindset I went into this new dub, give you just one opinion and explain where that opinion's coming from. And hopefully, because people are pretty staunchly set in their opinions on the Sailor Moon dubs and subs online, hopefully give you a different way of thinking about the product, maybe get you to think about having an open mind and giving something new a shot, no matter which side of the fence you stand on. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to set up for you today. So this is going to be a mini episode because it's just me, or if you are a fan of the Japanese version, a chibi episode of a Fool From Under a Rock podcast. We're not going to have points because it's just me. We're not going to have a challenge. I mean, we kind of might, but there's not going to be a challenge. And since it's just me and the other guys aren't breathing down my neck, I was not a big fan of the challenge anyways because I never won. So longtime listeners, if there are any of you listening after all this time, sorry you won't be having those parts, but it'll be a quick little podcast. You can listen to it on your drive to work or school or wherever it is you're going or whatever it is you're doing. No rating per se. Again, we've talked about this movie before and the plot's going to be the exact same. It's only the written dialogue for the dub that's different. So no real need for a rating there. Just again, explaining a comparison between dubs. And let's get into it. So Sailor Moon R, the movie, is a movie about the popular characters from Sailor Moon, specifically Tuxedo Mask. And in this movie, his alter ego is called Mamoru, not Darien. Mamoru has a man from his past, from his childhood, which we don't know much about, return back. But he's under the control of a Cassinian Blossom, which brainwashes him into capturing Mamoru, and he tries to take over the world for the Cassinian Blossom to destroy, essentially. It's a short one-hour movie, basic villain motivations here, not much going on. But when Mamoru is captured, Sailor Moon and the Sailor Scouts have to go up and rescue him, and using the power of love, which is not actually a song featured in this dub, but a nice little pun there. They rescue him and save the Earth yet again. So this movie takes place in the second season of Sailor Moon, which was called Sailor Moon R. And it fits pretty well visually with how that season looked. The animation is slightly better. And seeing this in theaters, it was easier to spot some details, but I'll get into theatrical presentation stuff later. So one of the things about this podcast is this is From Under a Rock. movies you should have seen by now. Is this a must-see? Again, no, but with the whole dub versus sub thing in the fandom, and Sailor Moon being the big phenomenon that it was, and it kind of having a bit of a resurgence now, I thought this redub made for a pretty interesting case to revisit the franchise. And I guess I'm the only one to revisit franchises in the history of From Under a Rock, because before I talked about Terminator a bunch of episodes, and now we're talking about Sailor Moon for a second episode. Being someone who grew up on Deke and loves that dub, I went into the movie with a couple preconceived notions, and I want to get those out of the way. So again, I grew up on the Deke dub, the Pioneer dub, the Cloverway dub. Those are the original three companies that made the first run of the English dub of Sailor Moon. That's from the first season through the fourth season. The fifth season was never dubbed in English before, and the three movies that came in that time chunk. So I understandably had a lot of nostalgia going in to this movie, and I thought it was going to be really weird to hear not the voices I'm used to from my childhood portraying these characters from my childhood. I was also expecting a lot of overly Japanese dialogue, because everybody's been saying this is a faithful translation of the original source material, and it to be kind of off-putting to a kind of more casual American audience. Luckily, I watch a lot more anime now, so it wouldn't be as off-putting to me, but I was expecting to notice a lot more things that don't appear much in American culture. So if someone isn't as big into anime, I thought maybe there'd be things that they wouldn't get in this movie. Wasn't really the case, but just want you to, again, know the preconceived notions going in. I was expecting clunky but faithful translations, because a lot of times when you look at what subtitled translations are as you're watching anime in Japanese, you can read that stuff, but you can't exactly say that stuff. It'll make sense in your head when you hear it in your head reading it off the screen, but saying it out loud, there's just not a natural flow to it sometimes. And I'm not talking about Sailor Moon in specific, I'm just talking about a lot of animes I've seen. The same thing happens in books. And look at Star Wars dialogue. You can write a line about hating sand, but you say it out loud, and that makes for an awkward line. Again, I grew up on those Deke dubs, so I thought I would dislike these voices, and with it trying to remain faithful and potentially clunky with the faithful Japanese to English translations, I was expecting the dialogue to also, the acting to be clunky as well. And just from what I'd seen of the Viz dub before, I thought I would have a hard time telling the voices apart. Now, that sounds like a lot of negatives. That isn't actually what I thought of the movie. Again, I just wanted you to know what I was thinking going into the film. What I actually got was much different, and I was pleasantly surprised and very glad I went in with an open mind. So if you haven't seen this movie and you had those same preconceived notions, I encourage you to go see it. And again, have an open mind, because this is what I got out of it. All these years later, I didn't realize how used to redubs and reinterpretations I am. I guess I kind of taken it for granted because, you know, I'm a big Dragon Ball Z fan. That's gone through several dubs. There was the Ocean dub in English, the Funimation dub. I've watched some of it in Japanese. And even if you stay within Funimation, you have the original run. Then you have Dragon Ball Z Kai. And then between those two dubs, some voice actors change here and there and don't reprise their roles. So I was used to hearing different actors portray the same characters. And I'm a big Power Rangers fan. Every year, they reinterpret what a Power Rangers team is with a new theme. So with all that stuff in my past, I actually was not jarred out of the experience watching this movie. I was able to get right into there, enjoy these characters, enjoy the voices, enjoy what all the voice actors brought to the table. So that's a great plus I found watching this movie with an open mind. Also watching this movie with an open mind and all these reinterpretations, I found this is a great new way to experience something from my childhood that I've seen over and over. So if you've ever had a movie or a song that you loved and you just listen to it over and over or watch it over and over, eventually it might start to get old. You've had the entire thing memorized. There's almost not even a point of popping it in anymore. The entire thing's burned into your memory. But, you know, taking the song, for example, let's say you have a song that you've done that with and then you find a live concert version of that song. Well, you can pop that in. It's the same song, but the artists bring a different kind of interpretation to it. Maybe they make some new flourishes. The sound is a little different. There's some new instruments. You can hear the audience. It's a new way to experience something you love. That's what I found with this dub of the movie. I know the plot by heart. I have most of the dialogue memorized from the old dub. But seeing these new interpretations made it great. jokes I hadn't laughed at in forever because I knew they were coming. I was laughing at again because I was hearing new ways of setting up and delivering the punchlines. The action was great because people were getting into the action in different ways. Very fun way to re-experience something for the first time. And that's not something you can do very often, but luckily with anime, you have a lot of ways to experience it between the different dubs and subtitled versions available. A really cool bonus I found to this was this theatrical presentation of the film, and I have to stress, this is the first time that this movie has ever been in American theaters, because before, with the Pioneer dub of it, it just went straight to video. This theatrical presentation of it had a dubbed version of a short film. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now, but it came before the movie, a lot like those old Pikachu's Adventure or Vacation mini movies came before the Pokemon movies. Well, this Sailor Moon short film that preceded the movie was a season one recap of the show. So it introduced a lot of the characters, including Sailor Moon, her scouts, Luna and Artemis, Chibiusa, and Tuxedo Mask. And it was a great way to someone who might not have seen Sailor Moon before, and this is their first time watching it. It was a great way to introduce these characters, and it actually set up for a lot of payoff in the final scene of the actual movie when the characters are remembering their past links to Usagi and how she's helped them come out of their shell and just been a very good friend to them. It was either Ryan or Michael when we reviewed the full film of the old dub of the full film. One of them said they didn't really feel the scouts had much to do other than Sailor Moon, and there wasn't much payoff at the end because they hadn't seen a lot of those interactions in the film. Well, I have a feeling, as first-time viewers, if they had seen this, they would have gotten a lot more out of it. So I really enjoyed that film, and it was super funny. Usagi is basically eavesdropping on these two girls a table away from them who are talking about who they think their favorite Sailor Scout is. And, of course, she keeps hoping that they'll say Sailor Moon, but they keep saying, oh, you know what? Sailor Mars is the best. No, Sailor Venus is the best. Oh, wait, no, there's someone we're forgetting. Oh, yeah, Tuxedo Mask, he's the best. And then it segues into quick little histories of each of those characters. Very fun, and I enjoyed seeing that season one footage up on the big screen again. All right, a quick word about the theatrical presentation, because again, never seen this movie in theaters before. I saw it at the Los Angeles Independent downtown, and it was so cool seeing it. I got free posters, free postcards, and when I walked into the theater, I don't know if it was like this in other theaters, but my specific one had projected Sailor Moon artwork on the walls before the movie started, which I thought was a really cool way to set the mood. And I've seen a lot of anime premieres here, and none of them have done that really cool wall projection thing, so I really appreciated that. The sounds theatrically were fantastic. I'm so used to hearing these on little TVs in the 90s or the flat screen in my living room. And yeah, I do have surround sound, but it just does not compare to hearing these sounds on a theatrical level. The Sailor Moon anime has so many iconic sounds. Each Sailor Scout has kind of her own signature sound. You know, Mercury has a water-sounding sound, and Jupiter has an electric-sounding sound, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you hear those on all these speakers barreling all around you, and just kind of gives you chills. Even though the movie hasn't even started yet, it's just a short film. Amazing. I always have to nitpick on this. This never factors into ratings, or even though I'm not rating it, but I always like to throw it out when there's weird aspect ratio stuff. And since this was a theatrical presentation, it was in widescreen. The movie itself was animated in full screen. So what that means is kind of an inverse thing of what used to happen in the 90s. They cropped the top and bottom of the frame off to fit it in a widescreen aspect ratio and project it in theaters. So even though you think, oh, widescreen, you're seeing the full image. For this specific movie, this is a rare occasion where it's the other way around, you're actually missing some of the image. So especially during the transformations and attacks, you can notice that there's some stuff missing on the tops and bottoms. The Sailor Scouts always pose with a nice little glowing version of their logo behind them when they transform. You can notice that's kind of cut off at the top and the bottom, and couple points throughout the movie, the framing is off because of that cropping. Hopefully when they release this on DVD and Blu-ray, the full screen option is available, so that way you can see it as the animators made it. So all the detail that they put into the frame is in the frame, and hopefully they don't crop it in just so it looks nice on a widescreen and you end up missing stuff. Just a little soapbox rant. With this theatrical presentation, I don't know if this is going to be an option you can turn on or off on DVD or Blu-ray, but there were some occasionally distracting subtitles throughout the movie. Whenever anything with Japanese text pops up, there's a quick little English subtitle translating what it means. Sometimes it's something simple or helpful, like when Chibiusa shoots Sailor Moon with a dart gun and then a message unrolls from it. It translates the motivational message. I think it says something like, you can do it on there. And I thought, oh, that's nice. But other times, you know, some action's happening and a sign happens to go throughout the frame and it doesn't have really much to do with the action. But then you have this text saying what the sign is and then it distracts you from the action happening on screen because you're trying to read it. So sometimes distracting, sometimes helpful, but just thought I'd point that out. And okay, this is the meat of it. This is what I really wanted to talk about when I said I was going to revisit this movie. And this is what I really wish I had some other friends here to talk about and bounce ideas around with. But old dub, English dub, versus new English dub. So in a nutshell, Deke versus Viz. I'm going to proceed with caution, hopefully, because I see a lot of arguments about this online. I am probably setting a big target on myself, depending on what I say, but I encourage you to hear me out, and then you can respond to me later on social media. But here's what I have to say. First of all, you have to talk about the reasons to redub, specifically Sailor Moon, and whether I think those are valid or invalid reasons. So the Deke dub in the 90s was very Americanized, very edited. It had to fit to American TV standards and running length. They would add things such as Sailor Moon says to beef up the running time because, you know, these episodes have to be a certain amount of minutes long. Understandable. And to a kid watching in the 90s at the time, it made it fit in with other cartoons I was watching and thus very accessible and not too different. I think back then if I'd watched it just straight up Japanese video, it may have been a little, you know, maybe not for me, but I could see for other people, if it's too different, it might not be something they watch because it's not the same as the other cartoons they're watching back then in the 90s. I thought the Deke dub did a great job of making it seem like another cartoon in the 90s. And then again, that makes it accessible and easy to watch because it's familiar. Along with that, though, Deke fitting it for American audiences did edit out a lot of things and censor a lot of things. Some of the censoring was small things like brushing away certain body parts in the transformations, because when they transform, they're kind of in a glowing naked form. So they say, okay, let's erase these breast lines here. We don't want things to be too suggestive for kids. That I can understand. But other things they edited out, a lot of the violence, a lot of the sexuality, especially in, oh geez, season 3, it's infamous that they turned the lesbian couple, Sailor Uranus and Neptune, into cousins, not lesbians, but just cousins, and that's why they hang out all the time. Stuff like that, and just watching it again as an adult, a lot of moments where you can just clearly tell something's missing. An action is missing, something making contact is missing, and they just have to infer around it. I think that's unfortunate. I think that's a great reason to revisit the dub, because then you can see the full extent of what really happened. And if I remember, there's even several full episodes of the first season that are missing because they just thought they were too racy, too hard to dub into English. The Sailor V backstory's missing. The big finale was originally two parts, but they cut it heavily and made it one part. And the Sailor Scouts don't die in the Deke version. They just kind of, I don't really know exactly what they do. They just kind of fade away or something, but come back later. But yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, those edits and censoring do make for a good reason to revisit and potentially redub the original work. The names are different. Deke originally called the characters Serena, Rini, Darien. Now they are back to their original Japanese names. Usagi, Chibiusa, Mamoru. Personally, I think that's maybe understandable, but I think names like Serena, Rini, and Darien are more accessible to an American audience, and I'm of the camp when you're localizing something for a culture, you localize it for that culture. If I made something and it was going to China or India or Brazil and certain cultural things need to happen for it to be more accessible, I'm okay with things like, okay, changing the names to something more familiar, especially when maybe the original versions of those names, the meaning behind them, because I know Usagi, I think means bunny or something, is lost outside of that language. And then finally, another reason to redub, acting. So before I've said, okay, that's a good reason to redub, that's maybe an understandable reason to redub, acting. This is one where I disagree with most of the fan base that thinks the Deke dub was terrible. They'll say, oh wow, the acting in that was terrible. It's just unwatchable. Okay, I'll level with you. Sometimes the acting is, what's the best word? Over the top. And sometimes that over the top is the wrong choice, you know? But other times the acting is over the top and it hits it out of the ballpark and it goes for the right emotion and it nails it in the head and it's perfect. You know, in the finales or the movies, Serena or Sailor Moon will have a heartfelt speech about friendship or what love is or companionship or what the right thing to do is or her hero speech. And I'll think, oh, that nails it on the head. So to those people who say the acting is terrible, don't even watch it. I'd say you need to take it as a whole. There's some amazing acting in the Deke dub, and I will give you that there is also some moments where they just miss it. You know, sometimes Sailor Moon in battle is making strange and funny sounds when the mood shouldn't be strange and funny. So I'll give you that, but I do have to put my foot down to everybody who says there's no good acting in that dub. I do have to put my foot down and say you're wrong. As someone who works with talented voice actors out here in Los Angeles, there's some great and talented and amazing voice acting in that original dub. And there's some great, talented, amazing voice acting in this new Viz dub too, which is why I had so much fun watching it. So, old dub versus new dub. I can't really say which one's better. I just think they're different. Certain parts of it, of the old dub were better. Certain parts of this dub were better. Again, it kind of goes back to that thing I mentioned before where it's just fun to re-experience it in a new way and see these new reinterpretations of it. Just some quick examples of where one's better and one's worse at different times. There's a moment in the third act of the Viz dub where the Sailor Scouts are on the Flower Cassinian asteroid. Tuxedo Mask breaks out of his prison and intervenes to save Sailor Moon. He throws a rose at Fiori, and Fiori kind of takes a stumble back. The Cassinian asks him, what's wrong? Why aren't you going forward with the plan? And he kind of, in a somewhat whiny tone, says, he threw a flower at me, after a long pause. And the whole theater just laughed. And I don't think that was supposed to be a funny moment. That's supposed to be a very deep character moment. He's supposed to be very surprised that his childhood friend Mamoru would turn on him for Sailor Moon. And that's what kind of breaks him out of the Cassinian spell for a little bit right after. So I thought that was a moment in this dub that the old dub did better. I can't exactly remember the line that Fiori said in the Pioneer dub, but it kept within the mood and it kept the plot moving forward. Now on the flip side of it, I thought there was some instances of the Viz dub that completely did a better job than the Pioneer dub. For example, in the also third act of this movie, Sailor Moon goes into a flashback with Fiori to show him where the flower that Mamoru gave him came from. In the Pioneer dub, little tiny Serena goes into Darien's hospital room and says something along the lines of, let me see if I can remember, my mommy just had a little boy today and I bought these roses for her here, and hands him a rose. All right, that's a nice little line. He finds out where the rose that Darien gave him came from. In the Viz version of it, Usagi goes into Mamoru's room, says a couple lines, and then she has this amazing line that I thought, hands down, was better than the old dub. Today's a special day. I became a big sister. I thought that was such a great, like, mature way of delivering the same line, the same meaning of the line, but it gets the audience member to think a little bit. And personally, I'm an older brother to two little sisters. That whole I became a big sister today evoked just a nostalgic emotion in me of, you know, when my little sisters were born and I thought, oh, I'm a big brother. Oh, wow. So yeah, that was hands down better. And that cut through all the nostalgia immediately in the theater. I thought, wow, they nailed it right there. I also thought this new Viz dub interpretation of the source material was a lot more subtle, and that's in a good way. Again, I've mentioned before, a lot of the acting in the Deacon Pioneer dub was over the top, sometimes wacky, and again, that fit in with the cartoons of the time. But the subtleness of this dub kind of just kept what makes each character unique just kind of at the subtext of every line, which I really enjoyed. So they never really went too over the top, but there was a subtlety that I could appreciate in terms of their acting there. And one really great moment in specific of that is a line Sailor Venus has when they are surrounded by Cassinian flowers on the asteroid in space. So in the Pioneer dub, the signals are popping up on Mercury's computer. Venus looks down at the flowers all around her and says, "The flowers." And as, you know, someone who's kind of the strategic mind of the Sailor Scouts in that dub, it makes sense. Oh, wow, yeah, she gets it. It's the flowers, of course. Great job. Good going, Sailor Venus. In the Viz dub, the same thing's happening. The signals are popping up on Mercury's computer. Venus looks down at all the flowers, and then she says, "Oh, no." Again, subtle line, because it infers that she knows the flowers are the villain, because she's scared of the fact that she's surrounded by all these flowers. It kind of makes you think a little bit more, and it's then more rewarding with the way they gave that line in the Viz dub. And again, with a subtlety, it infers, okay, Venus is the leader. She knows that the flowers are what's causing these signals to pop up, and that's what's surrounding them. But a layer above that, she's afraid, because as a strategic leader of the scouts, you know, the inner scouts, she knows they're outnumbered and this is going to be tough. So many things with just, oh no. Same moment, two words, two different interpretations. Both good, one, in my opinion, better. And that was the Viz dub, so I got to give it to Viz. That said, I got to look at both sides of things. There are some clunky lines, and that's what I was expecting when you make a faithful Japanese to English translation. Some things just don't sound as good as they read. So one example, when the scouts are fighting the first Cassinian flower on Earth, Rini or Chibiusa wakes up Serena / Usagi, and they talk for a little bit. And in the Viz dub, Usagi asks, "Where is everyone?" And Chibiusa replies, "They transformed and are fighting." It's just a small nitpicky thing, but just like that seems like an unnatural line. They transformed and are fighting. There's no contractions, there's no colloquialism, it doesn't flow, you know, it seems very robotic. Maybe in Japanese, it wouldn't seem so robotic in the delivery because of the way Japanese and English languages are different, but I thought, that line just comes off clunky. Not even, "They transformed and they're fighting," or "They're still fighting." Just a little too formal, I guess, and again, I know Japanese culture is formal, it just didn't, it felt clunky, whereas in the old Pioneer dub of it, Rini and Serena talk for a little bit. She asks, "Where's everybody?" They're still outside. Serena says, "Oh, it's still on," referring to the fight. And then Rini replies back, "Yeah, and they need help." Same message comes across, that the fight's still going on outside and it implies that they transformed, but the delivery and the lines themselves just feel more natural and believable. So that's a moment that I have to give back to the Pioneer dub if I'm to compare the two. Some lines in one dub are better than the other, and vice versa. Going along with that, I mentioned, you know, before, personally, I think when you localize something in English, you localize it, you make it make sense to that culture. You don't have to stick to certain words if there's other words that deliver the same meaning just as well, especially when they meet the same amount of lip flaps, which is a concern you have when you dub anime. You want to make sure the lip flaps are synced up fairly well. I'm not going to go too much into that, but, you know, you don't want it to look like a Godzilla movie where there's no sync at all. In particular, I'm referring to Chibi versus Minnie, you know, Chibiusa, Chibi Moon, and then in English, her name is Rini, but they also call her transformed state Minnie Moon. Chibi and Minnie mean the same thing. I never understand the need to stick to Chibi when Minnie means literally the same thing. And it, again, two syllables, fits in with the lip flaps. There's other examples, but like that's the main one I come to when, you know, I think you might be a little too attached to the Japanese word-by-word translation there. Again, and a word like chibi, why wouldn't you translate that to mini? I mentioned this before, I'd looked at the Viz dub a little bit before. Sometimes they'll post previews online, or on Hulu you can watch episodes. The bits I've watched, I noticed that it's hard to tell a lot of the scouts apart, and even Luna sounds like one of the scouts if you're just listening at a glance, or in the case of this movie, if Usagi is narrating, and then you have a hard time telling if their narration ends in a flashback and then the characters within the flashback start talking. I can't tell whose voice the audio is supposed to be, or if the characters are talking and they're facing away from the screen or away from the audience. It's hard to tell who's talking. And in particular, I mean, Luna, Sailor Moon, Sailor Mercury, and Sailor Venus, sometimes Sailor Mars. But those characters, their voices are just kind of really close in pitch, and a lot of the times delivery, it's hard to tell who's talking, whereas I thought the old Deacon Pioneer dubs had very distinct voices. With your eyes closed, you can tell immediately who's talking. After a while, you are able to get over that in this movie, but it does keep coming back here and there, but it's especially prevalent in the beginning. That said, I thought the voice actor for Mako / Sailor Jupiter in the Viz dub was amazing. Spot on. I talked about subtlety before. She, in just about every line she delivers, has that subtle toughness. And Sailor Jupiter is a tough girl. She's the fighter of the Sailor Scouts, not only with her thunder and electric attacks, but she's literally a martial artist. She's tough. All of her flashbacks refer to how she beats people up. You can hear that just by the way she talks. And Sailor Jupiter's voice actor in the original dub might have been my favorite voice of that whole original dub because she was the only actress to stay with it for the whole run through. I think that the voice actress in this Viz dub might have been better casting just because of the way that delivery is just gets that toughness across in every line. To make that a definitive statement, I'd have to watch more of the original show and see if there's other emotions that she can play with that or if it's a one-note delivery. But wow, for the scope of this movie, perfect casting, whoever plays Sailor Jupiter. So with all those differences, you know, differences in translation, words in the dub, voice actors playing the roles, I didn't expect to be so emotionally invested in this movie without nostalgia backing me up. I know whenever I watch the old dubs of the movies, I'm hearing emotional deliveries, emotional lines from these voices that I grew up listening to, and the nostalgia is strong, and I get right into there. Even without all that nostalgia, you know, when Sailor Moon, spoiler alert, dies at the end, I teared up a little bit when they take Tuxedo Mask away and she's running after him and she kind of collapses to the ground on Earth and starts crying. You know, you get emotional, you feel for that. When Mamoru and Fiori are reminiscing about their past, you know, you hurt for them because they have such a tragic past. I was, again, pleasantly surprised at this dub because it was able to elicit those emotions in me. And I almost had a bias against the movie going in, but wow, it totally proved that bias wrong. One thing I noticed, and I've noticed this whenever I watch subtitles of this movie before, because I have the DVD with the Japanese version and subtitles here, there's a couple points in the film where all the Sailor Scouts will just say, Usagi, one after another. You know, she'll fall over, or she'll be in danger, or about to be stabbed by 1,000 pointy arms. And they all just say, Usagi, 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 Usagi. Whereas the old Pioneer dub, you know, they all say something slightly different, like, no, Sailor Moon, Serena, look out, no. Again, I guess if you're fully committed to remaining faithful to the original Japanese lines, you would stick to saying Usagi 5 times. I just think the, you know, varying up the lines sounds more natural and it's more engaging and dynamic. Whereas just hearing the same name over and over and over, not as much. It's repetitive. One thing I noticed, again, talking about the subtleness of the acting, and, you know, lines like Venus saying, oh no, the scouts in this version just kind of had, even Sailor Moon, had an air of maturity over the scouts in the old dub. The old dub, they felt more like kids in the way they would bicker and argue with each other and yell. This one, they feel more prepared for battle. They know more about their responsibilities as scouts and to each other on the battlefield. And some people might argue, no, they're supposed to be kids. Other people might argue, well, maybe they were kids in the last season, but they've matured. I think they're both valid arguments. Neither of them are really wrong, in my opinion. I just, again, experiencing it in a new way, I thought that was a really cool interpretation and successful interpretation on the part of the actors playing these scouts. So kudos to them. Again, great way to re-experience a film I've seen a ton of times and makes you think about, oh, well, how can these characters be? Not what should they be, but how can they be? If you've ever worked with actors, you know each actor, different actor can look at the same lines on a page and bring the character to you in a completely different way. It's just really cool seeing that in anime, specifically this movie too. All right, that was a lot of talking, and now we are starting to reach the end here. So this is normally the part of the podcast where we go into ratings. but there's no one else here, and we have already rated this before, so not going to rate it. And again, if I was to rate it, I think that would kind of keep me trenched into the dub versus sub elitism. Again, I know people are really entrenched in their opinions on that, but I think if you're able to take things with an open mind, you enjoy the anime more than you would have if you just stick your feet in the ground and say, no, this dub is the way, this is meant to be experienced, every other way is trash. So I saw it and I'd watch more of this dub. I liked the characters, I liked the interpretations, I liked the voices. So hopefully you might do the same thing, which will take me to the challenge. Oh, normally there's a lot more people. Normally we have like four people saying challenge and then I echo it. There's no challenge this week or this episode. Again, it's just me, so maybe I'll just crown myself the winner of the challenge. But I do have a challenge for you. Again, I read all over the web about how this dub is the way that this anime is meant to be experienced and every other way is wrong and you're bad as a person for liking that dub, and I'm going to list paragraphs of reasons why. Hey, do yourself a favor. Do everyone else in the community a favor. That's a very toxic mindset. Try to have an open mind. So the challenge is to try another dub of an anime you like. Maybe that's Sailor Moon. Maybe you think there's no reason for me to watch this Viz dub. I challenge you to go in with an open mind, check out the movie. Maybe not in theaters. Maybe check it out on DVD or Blu-ray. Just find a way, check it out when you can. Or maybe you're on the other side of that fence. You think the Viz dub is the only way to go and you've sworn off the old dub. You think the acting's horrible. You think those actresses have nothing to bring to the role. You think the lines are all terrible. I encourage you, try and go back, rewatch those old dubs, see what you think now. You're not a kid anymore. You're an adult, most likely. See what opinions you can draw comparing them. See what moments you thought were better or worse between the new dubs. And don't make a definitive stance of this makes the old or new dub better or worse. Just different. Like I said, the cool thing about being an anime fan is you get to re-experience these different interpretations of the source material for the first time. You can't do that with a lot of different media. So enjoy that fact. Don't stick your feet in the mud and ignore it. Explore more of the source material. And overall, I think that'll make for a better community in anime. So people don't have to worry about posting what their opinions are without being flame-warred to death on any message board or YouTube comments. So that's my challenge to you. Maybe you've never checked out the original Japanese dub and you want to see what the source material is like and see what the original creators had in mind. Hey, do that too. It's great to go read the Japanese. You learn more about a different culture when you read the subtitles and you get more of the original form of it. Whether or not you think one interpretation is better or not, you do have to argue that the original language it was dubbed in is the original form of it. Or maybe you only watch it in Japanese and you'll never even think about an English dub. Hey, see what these people have to bring to the table. You have a lot of talented voice actors in these production companies, and I didn't even mention Johnny Young Bosch. Adam, the Black Ranger, is Artemis in this movie, so that's cool. Maybe you'll discover something like that. Whatever your stance on dubs or subs, whatever language is, I encourage you, go check out a different version of it with an open mind. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It definitely won't be the end of the world, and you'll still have the dub you prefer at the end of the day. Personally, I prefer the old Deke, Clover Way, and Pioneer dubs, but now I know I have this fantastic option to re-experience it and see new ways of interpreting my favorite, or one of my favorite animes. So I challenge that to you. Maybe you'll enjoy that too. Okay, let's wrap this up. Again, this isn't part of any cycle. So it's been over a year since our last episode. Normally at this point we say, all right, here's what the next week's movie is. You should go watch it. This isn't part of any specific season or cycle. This is just an out of the blue episode I wanted to do because I had all these thoughts watching this movie because it was a pretty unique situation. So no cycle, no movie next week. Just keep watching movies. All that challenge stuff I mentioned before, if you do it, I would love to hear what you think, what you thought of the different interpretations and different dubs are. So you can send those thoughts to me on Twitter at Steven Zurita, that's StevenZurita, or on my Facebook page for Hyperdrive Picks, facebook.com/HyperdriveRivePics. I have Tumblr and Instagram too, but I think Facebook and Twitter are the best mediums for sending messages. So let's keep it to there. Normally someone asks the other people around the table right here what everybody's up to. So no one's around. So I'll just say, hey, Steven, what are you up to? Great question. So I used to always talk about, oh, this week Hyperdrive Pix has a great video coming out. I'm not really doing weekly videos on Hyperdrive. And when I say really, I mean at all. I have taken 2017 as an opportunity to step back from a weekly schedule to make a bunch of small things, instead to step back, focus on several bigger projects that'll take a lot more time, but I think in the end be something I'm much more proud of. So, you know, always writing. This year I'm hoping to write a lot more stuff and actually get something produced, like a short film. Right now I'm working on a Power Rangers morphing video I shot at Power Morphicon with a bunch of cosplayers, and I'm going all out with all the morphs because the cosplay suits look great. The After Effects is going to look great. So that's the big project I'm working on right now at the beginning of the year. And then we'll see what else I push out throughout the year. So again, in a nutshell, not a small thing every week, but several big things per year that I'll be more proud of. And I think will showcase my talents more. The other three guys from Under a Rock aren't here, but I'll let you know what they're up to. I see them here and there. I see Michael Ornelas a bunch. He has his own YouTube channel. I'll give it a plug for him. It's called Michael's Spin on Things. I help out on that a lot, and I'm in it here and there. He uses things in ways they're not to be intended and reviews them as such based on user comments and suggestions. Pretty funny stuff. That's Michael's Spin on Things on YouTube if you want to check that out. James McNally is always working on writing stuff and music. Very talented musician. I think in the last episode he mentioned where you can find that. I don't know it off the top of my head. I play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons with Michael and James these days, so I see them a bunch, and that's a fun thing we all do together. And then Ryan Evans, still playing Street Fighter, plays a lot of Rock Band. I haven't seen him yet in 2017, but I'm sure I'll bump into him pretty soon. And yeah, that's what everybody is up to. So that about wraps it up. If you're listening, please give us give me a rating on iTunes and a quick review, or subscribe there if you want to get every episode of this podcast, because it's so irregular, I can't promise you when the next one is. So on one hand, I won't bog down your subscription feed, but on the other hand, when I do put something out, or when we put something out, you'll be sure to get it. We have over 60 episodes of backlog if you want to check out what else we've talked about as a group. And I promise you, with four people around the table and not just me, it is a lot more interesting and funny and witty and bantery. So a lot of fun stuff to listen there. A lot of great movies that we've brought each other out from under the rock, and hopefully in the future yourself. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Steven Zarita. This has been From Under a Rock, the podcast dedicated to bringing you out from under the proverbial rock. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you, Space Cowboy. Ah, that's not Sailor Moon. That's a different anime.